Lo dije a mi hijo. Lo dije a mi hijo.
نعم شيخنا، وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
عامل كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله شيخنا، أحسن الله إليك.
آمين وإياكم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. And we have been on the lessons regarding our dealings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we handle our supplications to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do we handle our adhkar, calling our Lord to mind regularly and repeatedly? And a lot of issues of manners of doing that and our conduct while doing that has been discussed this far in this book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Yesterday, he brought us into the chapter about saying Salatu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the aspects of being mannerly with Allah is that we say lots of Salatu and Salam on his messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That does not only just occur in books of hadith, it actually occurs in the Quran as an instruction to all of us. Allah said, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. He said, Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Certainly, listing all of you, one certain thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yusni ala nabiyihi wa yu'azzimu dhikrahu fil mala'i al-a'la. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would praise the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He praises him and he mentions him with goodness fil mala'i al-a'la, and the best and the highest and the most sublime of gatherings, the gathering of the malaika. In the heavens, Allah would mention the Prophet with praise. He would extol his virtues. He would say good of him, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. And the angels would be begging Allah to send his barakat and increase his favors upon him and the blessings and so on to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That was how Allah started that verse. I give my salat upon Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. I give my salam on him. The angels do that too. They beg me to mention him and send my barakat on him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. When the case is like that, O you people of Iman, sallu alayhi, sallu ala nabi. All of you, you should make salat on this Nabi Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wasallimu. You all should also say salam on him. You also should say salam on him. When you say salat on him, you add salam to it. And that was why Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, yesterday during the class, I mentioned to us that one of the major sources of the discussions regarding Salatu and Salam on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is Kitab al-Adhkar by Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. Al-Imam al-Nawawi mentioned the view of those scholars who say, if you say Salat alone to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you have not obeyed this verse. If the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you want to make Salat, you must make as-salatu was-salam. Why? What Allah has commanded us in the Quran is sallu alayhi wa sallimu. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu. Two things. Salat and what? As-salam. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu. So if you make Salat and you don't make as-salam, you have not completed it. You make sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. You make both of them to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So from the manners, from the aspects of being manali with Allah, is that we make salatu and salam on his messenger, the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was why Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he deliberately set out a whole chapter to encourage us regarding this instruction from our Lord. The first hadith we read yesterday was hadith 640, the hadith that was mentioned to be from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. But we said to us that even though the isnad of that hadith is weak, the lessons in that hadith are established in other hadith. The first lesson we mentioned regarding this hadith is that it was very necessary for us to make sadaqah. Giving sadaqah is a major good deed in our religion, because that hadith says, Ayyuma arajulun muslimun lam yakun indahu sadaqah falyakul fi du'aihi. Any person, individual amongst the Muslims, lam yakun indahu sadaqa, he does not have the money or the property to give sadaqa, falyakul fi du'aihi, he should say in his dua, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin abdika wa rasulik wa salli ala al-mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat. He should say this, fa'innaha lahu zakat. When he says this salatu ala nabi, it will come in the place of sadaqa. Fa'innaha lahu zakat. Here means, fa'innaha lahu sadaqatun. It will stand in the place of sadaqa for him. We said giving salatu wa salam on the Prophet is from the aspects of sadaqa. Just like praying for the rest of the Muslims too is from the angles of sadaqah. Why? They all come from the aspects of ma'ruf. And he has said to us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kullu ma'ruf in sadaqah. Every good deed, every righteous deed you do is from the aspects of sadaqah. So don't say, I don't have money. I don't have a house. I don't have a land. I don't have clothes to give in sadaqah. Make salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Your salatu ala nabi will stand in the place of sadaqah for you when you become not to have what to give in sadaqah. Make salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second hadith we picked was hadith 641, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised anyone who made salatu ala nabi, فهدت له يوم القيامة بالشهادة وشفعت له. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, شهدت له يوم القيامة بالشهادة. I will testify for him that that individual was upon shahada. He was upon sound iman. I will testify for him that that individual was upon sound testimony of iman. وَشَفَعْتُ لَهُ, and I will beg Allah to forgive him. I will intercede for him before Allah. شَفَعْتُ لَهُ, I will make intercession for him on the day of Qiyamah. And look at this. Ikhwah, for those of us who look at this from the angle of the Arabic syntax, you would see it came with Sigatul Madi. Shahidtu lahu yawm al-qiyamah. The day of Qiyamah has not come. Yet he said Shahidtu lahu as if it has come and it has gone past, meaning at tahqiq, I will certainly affirm for him on the day of Qiyamah bishahada that this man was upon sound iman. Wa shafa'tu lahu. He said it as if I have already done it. What it means is that I will certainly do it. Shafa'tu lahu. I will intercede for him certainly before Allah. When you say salatu ala nabi, the Prophet will testify for you sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, and you will gain his intercession. The intercession is that ash-shafa'atu sughra. The shafa'atu al-kubra is a'ma for everybody. The Prophet's testimony, the Prophet's intercession for everybody. We mentioned it yesterday when he stands in that noble, honorable place, Maqamu Mahmud. After everybody becomes tired and exhausted, begging the messengers of Allah to intercede, the Prophet will intercede, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is general for Muslims, for kafir, for anybody. Allah judge human beings. This is not the shafa'ah we are talking about. Because even those who do not believe in him will benefit from this Rasulu Rabbil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from that ash-shafa'atul kubra, awil uzma, the biggest, greatest shafa'ah. But as for ash-shafa'atul sughra, that one is only for the people of Iman. That is what we are talking about now. Shafa'atul lahu. If you are a person who says regularly, as-salatu ala nabi, you will gain from the shafa'ah, intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will beg Allah to forgive you on the day of Qiyamah. And he will affirm before Allah that you were a person of Iman if you regularly say Salatu ala Nabi. So Ikhwa, Salatu ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is very important. Regularly making Salatu ala Nabi. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. You don't have to wait till a day, maybe a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday. As for the days of Jumu'ah, we are encouraged to do more. It is not that it is on the days of Jumu'ah alone that we make Salatu ala Nabi. La, on the days of Jumu'ah, you make more Salatu ala Nabi. You are encouraged to make much more Salatu ala Nabi on the days of Jumu'ah. Neither is it specified for the days of Sunday. Some of us, we are lazy in making Salatu ala Nabi. And some of the people have exploited that laziness. Some Muslims are lazy, and their laziness have been exploited. They've turned As-Salatu ala Nabi to something like an event that you go to attend. People have turned Salatu ala Nabi as like an event they go to attend. So they go to As-Salatu instead of sitting down to get busy with As-Salatu. They go to As-Salatu. As-Salatu is not something you go to. Nobody goes to ICANN. I don't think there's an accountant who is ICANN accredited that goes to ICANN. No, you sit down. You study for ICANN. You do ICANN. You don't go to ICANN as if it's an event you celebrate. I went to ICANN yesterday, and that makes you become an ICANN accredited accountant. No, nobody does that. Nobody does that. So, As-Salatu ala Nabi is not an event. As-salatu ala nabi is something you sit down and do. You don't need to go to anybody anywhere for salatu ala nabi. If you find yourself doing that, just know that somebody is exploiting your own ignorance. What is your ignorance? Sit down and learn salatu and be making salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you stand up, make salatu ala nabi. You sit down, make salatu ala nabi. You are walking on the street, salatu ala nabi. You are upon salat in your tahiyya, make salatu ala nabi. Always making salatu ala nabi. It's not an event to attend every Sunday. No, it's an act of worship to get busy and devoted with every day and time in your life. You walk on the street, you are driving, make salatu ala nabi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Your voice, your tongue, your lips is moist with saying salatu ala. It's not an event. It's not a place you wear white or green or red or purple. When you become like this, just know that you are ignorant and somebody is exploiting that ignorance. May Allah protect each and every one of us from exploitation. We also read Hadith 642. In Hadith 642, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into the wilderness to ease himself, and no one was going with him. He went alone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَمْ يَجِدْ أَحَدًا يَتْبَعُهُ. We did not find anyone following him, alayhi salatu wasalam. فَخَرَجَ عُمَرُ فَاتَّبَعَهُ بِفَخَّارَةٍ أَوْ مِطْهَرَةٍ فَاتَّبَعَهُ عُمَرُ. So Umar came out and followed him. He went after him to look for him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he was holding something like a pot or a calabash, fakhara, something like a water container, aw mitharatin, or something by which the Prophet would cleanse himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But by the time Umar got to where the Prophet was, wajadahu sajidan fi misrabin, he found that the Prophet was making sujood in a place that was a bit secluded, as if to say some walls or a place like a tea corner where you find some sort of a wall around it. So Umar found him making sujood. فَتَنَحْحَ فَجَلَسَ وَرَأَهُ. تَنَحْحَ Umar. Umar went aside when he saw him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَجَلَسَ وَرَأَهُ. So he sat down behind him, a bit away from him. حتى رفع النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رأسه فقال. Umar was waiting like that until the Prophet raised his head, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, and then said to Umar, أحسنت يا عمر. You have done well, O Umar. أحسنت يا عمر. You have done well, O Umar. حين وجدتني ساجدا فتنحيت عني. When you saw me in sujood and you went away from me without disrupting my sujood, this is going to show a lot of lessons that the companions were patient with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa radiyallahu anhum. There is also something here. Praising your student when he does well. Here the Prophet said, Ahsanta ya Umar. So Sheikh Ustad, when your student does well, say well of him, Ahsant. Don't let it be that it is just upon the error of a student that you capitalize on all the time. When a student or a subordinate or a child or anyone below you does something that is good, let them know that you have appreciated what they have done. Here, The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said to Umar, Ahsanta ya Umar, you have done well, O Umar. That is to say that when people do well, we should acknowledge they are doing well. Some people don't ever say to their staff that they have done well. People hardly praise their staff. They have that negative feeling that if you praise him, they'll stop doing well. No. Say what is balanced. Be balanced in that. Ahsant, you have done well. When they do well, say, that's very good of you. When they do well. So why should you think that it is just unfair? When they don't do well, you blame them. You are angry with them. You bang the table. You bang the door. And then when they do well, you fail to acknowledge it. Does that sound just and fair? So when they do well, let them know that they have done well. Here the Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahsanta ya Umar, Hina wajadtani sajidan fatana hayta anni. You have done well, O Umar. When you found me on sujood, you went away from me. Inna Jibreel ja'ani faqal. I was on sujood. Jibreel came to me and said, Man salla alayka wahidatan. O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Man salla alayka wahidatan. Anyone who makes salat on you once. You make salat ala nabi one time. Sallallahu alayhi ashraq. Allah will shower his barakat. Allah will shower his blessings on you ashra in tenfolds. You do one, you get ten. وَرَفَعَ لَهُ عَشْرَ دَرَجَاتِ. And Allah will raise your ranks in 10 stages. رَفَعَ لَهُ عَشْرَ دَرَجَاتِ. Allah will raise your ranks. He will raise your status before him 10 ranks. If you are told in a place of work that if you do something, your rank in the place of work will be raised 10 times where you are, will you have a day that you will not do that thing? In 3 days, you might have risen to the highest level in the office, because I'm sure we all will be doing that thing every day. So before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you say salatu ala nabi once, Rafa'a lahu ashra darajat. Anybody who does that, Allah will raise his rank 10 ranks high. Wa salla alayhi ashra. Allah will also return your salat in tenfolds for you. And from the previous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yashhadu lahu yawm al-qiyamati bi-shahada. Such a person, the Prophet will testify for him, will affirm iman for him on the day of Qiyamah. Wa shafa'a lahu. He will also make shafa'a for him. These are virtues from the virtues of saying salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith that we shall proceed to read today is hadith 643. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said in it, rahimahullah, before I read this hadith, I was thinking that we will commence the next chapter today. But it occurs to me that I have to stop the lesson at exactly 7:30. So I like us, if you have questions regarding this matter, we should begin to send it across. Bismillah, after the hadith 643, we will stop there and take questions for the rest of the time that we have. Bismillah. So the new recent hadith that we shall look at today, inshallah, is hadith 643. Dear Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Haddathana Abu Nu'aym, Qala Haddathana Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq, An Buraydin ibn Abi Maryam, Samitu Anasa ibn Malikin, Anin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Qal, Man salla alayya wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi ashra wa hatta anhu ashra hatiyat. Man salla alayya wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi ashra وحط عنه 10 خطيئات. الإمام البخاري reported that hadith from his Sheikh Abu Nu'aym. Abu Nu'aym, that is al-Imam al-Fadl ibn Dukayn. We should have known him now. One of the eldest amongst the teachers of al-Imam al-Bukhari. And one of the first persons from whom al-Imam al-Bukhari took the knowledge of Islam, al-Fadl ibn Dukayn. Rahimahullah. His kunya was Abu Nu'aym. He had a teacher who was named Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq. That is Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq al-Sabi'i. Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i himself was a great scholar of hadith, Amr ibn Abdullah, well known from amongst the Tabi'un. Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, rahimahullah, well known from amongst the Atba' al-Tabi'in. He was a Tabi'u al-Tabi'i. Rahimahullah, he had children and grandchildren who were from the scholars of hadith. One of them was Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq, the son of Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri. He was reporting from a Tabi'i, Buraid ibn Abi Maryam. Buraid ibn Abi Maryam is the Tabi'i of this hadith al-Basri. His own teacher was that companion, radiallahu anhu, Anas ibn Malik, who was reporting from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, Man salla alayya wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi ashra, wa hatta anhu ashra khati'at. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayya wahidatan, anybody who says salat on me once, you say salat on me once, sallallahu alayhi ashra, Allah will say salat and grant him salat in 10 folds. You will get 10. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. If you do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you in 10 folds. صلى الله عليه أشرا. Allah will return it to him in 10 folds. You say one salat on Nabi. Ikhwa, this thing does not need you to go to an event every Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. No. Sit down in your home, make salat to Allah Nabi. You are walking on the street, make salat to Allah Nabi. You are going to the masjid, salat to Allah Nabi. You are in the masjid waiting for salat, salat to Allah Nabi. Become engrossed in making salat to Allah Nabi. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man salla alayya Wahidan, anybody who makes one salat, you make one salat on the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Sallallahu alayhi ashra, man salla alayya wahidatan, yani marratan wahidatan. Sallallahu alayhi ashra, Allah will grant you in 10 folds of that salat. وَحَطَّ عَنْهُ عَشْرَ خَطِيئَةٍ. Allah will drop off him. Allah will drop off. He will drop off you. عَشْرَ خَطِيئَةٍ. 10 sins. 10 misdeeds you have. Allah will drop 10 misdeeds away from you. If you say Salatu Alaihi. This means that Salatu ala Nabi comes from a lot of hasanat. Don't forget that Allah told us in Surah Hud that Inna al-hasanat yudhibna sayyat. Hasanat, good deeds. Yudhibna sayyat. They take away sinful deeds. One of the good deeds that take away sinful deeds, that take away the sins of an individual is Salatu ala Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Man salla alayya wahidatan, Sallallahu Alaihi Ashra, wa hatta anhu ashra khati'at. Allah will cut off 10 from your khati'at, from your sins, from your errors, your mistakes that you make. You commit that mistake, Allah will forgive you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you can see making salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has a lot of rewards. Don't ask how many times should I do it per day. All these kinds of how many times should I do it per day. And these kinds of things are not necessary. Except when we come back, we read a hadith to us yesterday from the Mu'jam of Al-Imam Tabarani, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to say salatu ala nabi 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening. These are specifics. Don't exceed the 10 in the morning, 10 in the evening, for a specific period like that. When you make your adhkar in the morning and you make your adhkar in the evening, make 10-10. But at other times, you are eating food, you are sitting down with people in a gathering, and then you are not the one talking, you can quickly drop one salah, 12, and 2, 3, 4. When the people are arguing, you stop, you start dropping salah, 12. You are flying a plane 16 hours. You are flying a plane 8 hours. 16 hours, I heard that is the flight time from Lagos to one of the nearest places in the U.S. 16 hours across the Atlantic. What are you doing? You are busy pressing phone, or you are busy watching the TV, or you just stay glued to watching the movement of the aeroplane. What do you gain from that? Say salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد and so on. Say صلاة على النبي أيها الإخوة. If you say صلاة على النبي once, صلى الله عليه عشرة, Allah will pay you back with 10 for 16 hours of a flight. How many صلاة على النبي will you make? Lots and lots. How many of your sins would have been taken away from you? Lots and lots. How many ranks high before Allah would you have been taken? Lots and lots. How many assurances of Shafa'a would you have gotten? Lots and lots. So say salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anas ibn Malik said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man salla alayya wahidatan, sallallahu alayhi ashra, wa hatta anhu ashra khati'at. Allah will give you back your salat in tenfolds, and then He will forgive 10 from your sins. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ubayy ibn Ka'b. Ubayy ibn Ka'b was one of the major reciters of the Quran. Radiallahu anhu. He was a major from amongst the scholars, amongst the companions, especially regarding the Quran. One day he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when I make dua, it said in the hadith that كان لأبي ابن كعب دعاء يدعو به لنفسه. Ubayy ibn Ka'b had special dua. He had special time, special dua he makes, begging Allah for himself. فسأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هل يجعل له منه ربعه صلاة عليه. Messenger of Allah, the time that I spend to make dua, begging Allah for myself, should I make 1/4 of that period, rub'ahu, هل يجعل له منه ربعه صلاة عليه؟ He asked the Prophet, should he now make 1/4 of his special dua time? Our mamas and babas usually have that special time they make dua for themselves. Most young people don't keep out time to make dua. Most young people now, they don't specially earmark time for dua. When we were younger than this, our parents have special time for dua. They make dua for us. They make dua for themselves. They make dua for their husbands, our mothers. They make dua for everybody. Now, most young people don't even have time. After salat, they stand up and they go away. No sitting down. No special times. May Allah forgive all of us. Ubay ibn Ka'b. كان لأبي بن كعب دعاء يدعو به لنفسه. Ubay ibn Ka'b had a special time. He had special dua that he would make for himself. So one day, سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, هل يجعل له منه ربعه صلاة عليه? He was asking the Prophet, should I make 1/4 of my special dua time for you? The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to him, إن زدت فهو خير لك, if you increase it. So let's say he spent 1 hour. 1 hour is 60 minutes. 1/4, 60 minutes was the time he spent. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu salam, إن زدت فهو خير لك, if you do more, add more time for salatu ala nabi, it is better for you. فقال له رضي الله عنه, Ubay ibn Ka'b said, 1/4. So if I do more, okay, nis and nis, should I make half? So if I spend 1 hour making dua, especially for my special prayers, so I should make 30 minutes for you, Messenger of Allah. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in zitta fahuwa khairun laka. If you add more, it is better for you. إلى أن قال, then he continued to ask the Prophet until he said, أجعل لك صلاتي كلها, I will make all my dua. أجعل دعائي كله صلاة عليك, I'll make all my dua. Each time the special time I make special dua for myself, okay? Let me quickly give you everything, be making salatu on you. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إذن تكفى همك ويغفر لك ذنبك, whatever bothers you, تكفى, Allah will suffice you, your humum, whatever concerns you have, any concern you have, Allah will suffice you. So ikhwa, salatu ala nabi always, anything you want to do, Allah will do it for you. Let it just come upon him, and I need this to Allah will do it. And I need this one, Allah will do it. And I need this one, Allah will do it. How? Just be saying salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa yugfar laka dhambak, and your sins will be forgiven for you. You will gain forgiveness for your sins. How? Just be saying salatu ala nabi. Anything of concern you have, Allah will solve it. Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu, Allah will solve all your problems. Any problem you have. I know some people who have lived like this for the past 20 years. All their dua is salatu ala nabi. All their dua is salatu ala nabi. And all their problems will be solved. Just samas salatu fan nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah loves this Rasulullah so much. This is Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu salam. Allah loves him so much. So the more you say salat and salam on him, the more Allah will solve your problems. Salatu ala nabis is a means to obtain Allah solving any problem for you. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Just be reaching salatu ala nabi. all your concerns, all your worries, all your problems will be resolved. This hadith has been variously reported by the scholars of hadith. It occurs in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. Al-Imam al-Tirmizi also reported it. Al-Imam Hakim al-Nisaburi also reported it. And many others amongst the scholars of hadith grade this hadith sahih. One of them was Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah and Sheikh Mashhur Hassan al-Salman. In his tahqiq on Jalaul Afham, he also grades it reliable. Many others amongst the scholars have also done so, rahimahumullah. They say the least ruling of this hadith is that it is hasan, it is a sound hadith. So this hadith, if you go on making sure that you say lots of salatu ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah will resolve your concerns. Allah will resolve your problems. He knows those problems better than you do. He will solve those problems for you. And he will forgive all your sins. What is left? If all our concerns and worries are resolved, and we are forgiving all our sins, ikhwa, is there anything left? Is there anything left behind? All your problems are solved. All your sins are forgiven. What is left? If all your problems are solved, this dunya will be good for you. If all your sins are forgiven, akhirah will be good for you. Salatu ala nabi is very important. So you see, ikhwa, we understand that it is not like an event to attend. It is an action to do. It is something to do. It is not an event. It's not a weekly event. It's not a monthly event. People do monthly as Allah too. Please sit down. Don't let anybody exploit your ignorance. Learn one way to make salah to Allah Nabi. Sit down. Learn one way. Be doing salah to Allah Nabi. May Allah protect all of us from exploitation. I think we can stop here for today and begin to see whether we can provide answers to the questions that we have. Abu Amir.
نعم شيخنا جزاكم الله خيرا وأحسن الله إليكم
آمين وإياكم آمين وأنتم فجزاكم الله خيرا
First question here reads Abu Dhabin Pashari answered It reads Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh Ya Sheikh
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh
It is usually said and I have come across it many times that we should say much more Salat wa ala Nabi on Fridays First of all is this saying authentic And is saying the shorter version of Salatu ala Nabi, like Allah, Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Nabiyyina wa Habibina Muhammad, still end one these kinds of rewards because it is easier to say and repeat?
Yes, they will. They will earn you the rewards. We had answered that Fridays are specifically days for Salatu ala Nabi. Fridays. We are specifically encouraged to make lots of Salatu ala Nabi on the days of Jum'ah. On the days of Jum'ah, we are specifically encouraged to say lots of Salatu ala Nabi. Just like during Tashahud. During Tashahud, every Salat. Before you say Taslim, make Salatu ala Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are some scholars who even say that it is compulsory to make Salatu ala Nabi in your tashahud before you say Taslim. Before you say Taslim, make Salatu ala Nabi. It is just like the one on the days of Jum'ah. That one also has a serious encouragement. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, أَكْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ أَكْثِرُوا عَلَيَّ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ Make a lot of saying salatu on me. Make a lot. Do it. Do a lot of that. So that one. is established in the books of Sunnah that on the days of Jummah, we say lots of salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Many companions have reported that one, radiallahu anhu. Likewise, saying salat in between our tahiyya before you say taslim. For the first one, if it's a four rakah salat, some scholars say it is compulsory in that tahiyya for you to say salat wala nabi. Others say it is mustahab. But as for the second tahiyya, many, much more of amongst the scholars say it is compulsory to say salat wala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as for the version you read on the days of Jummah, yes, you can say the shorter one, that's easy to repeat. But I encourage you to also read those versions that you want to call long, because they are full of rewards. So don't say, let me remain in the lower boundary. Go up. Don't say, oh, Elena Titobe. Go up. Say it full. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Go up, say it full. Go up, say it full. May Allah grant us the full rewards, because the more you say, the more you get, my dear brother. The more you sow, the more you reap. The more you say, the more you get. So say more, get more. Say more, get more. Do more, reap more. May Allah grant us the full rewards of these deeds. Salatu ala Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair, Shaykhan.
Ameen, ameen wa antum fi jazakumullah khair.
Next question reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ya Shaykh. Which kind of sinful deeds will Allah take away if one does salah for the Prophet? Can it take away the sins we offended someone and that person has not forgiven someone despite our plea to him?
If you offend somebody and you make tawbah to Allah, and then you return from the aspects of tawbah is to return to the person to seek redress. If it has a property with you, money or something, you give him his money. When you make tawbah, if it has to do with the rights of people, you have to give them that right. You have to return the right to them. If you have a group of people you offend, when you make tawbah, you return whatever you have deprived them of. You return it to them. If this is what the person means, then it ends there. When you say Salatu ala Nabi, it helps you clear the other blemish. You clear the rest of the blemish, and you have more good deeds on your scales to further outweigh your sins, because al-hasanat yuzhibna sayyat. Inna al-hasanat yuzhibna sayyat. Hasanat take away sayyat. And one of those hasanat that take away sayyat is salat ala nabi. So in the scenario that you give, you must return the property to that person after your tawbah, then your salat ala nabi. Because sins usually have repercussions, whether you know or not. Sins, ikhwah, we are coming back to that in Adda'u wa Dawa. Sins usually have repercussions. So one of the things that will, bi'idhnillah, help take away any negative repercussion of that sin is Salatu ala Nabi. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I hope that is clear, inshallah.
I'm Shaykh Amin. Sallallahu alayhi wa
Ameen, ameen.
The next question reads, in a bid to teach my children how to recite Salatu ala Nabi, is it permissible to do it in congregation with my family after Fard Salah, in the same way we recite other adhkar together?
Well, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he mentioned that that is lawful. You want to teach somebody adhkar or a group of people, one of them can be reading it and the rest of them will be following it. One of them can be reading it and the rest of them will be following. That is the meaning of teaching. You can read the follow, you can read the follow until everybody knows. Then everybody begins to read by themselves. So Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Nawawi cited that of him in Kitab al-Adhkar. Anyone who does not know Adhkar, somebody who knows it can read it. The rest who don't know it will follow him until they too will know it and be able to read it. So if this is what you do in the house, yes, it is lawful because you are teaching them and at the same time they are making the Adhkar. But that one has a time limit. The time limit is when they know it. Once they know it, every person makes that askar by himself. Once they know it, stop it. Don't continue as a regular practice. The same thing for the askar of the day and the night. Once people know it, let everybody be doing it. You can now be calling their attention. Ah, make sure you do Adhkar. Make sure, are you on Adhkar? Have you finished your Adhkar? You'll be reminding them once they know it. You keep a regular touch until you are sure that they do it. So two stages. You teach them. You keep a touch on them to ensure that they are doing it regularly. But that you have taught them, they know it, and everybody is still doing it together. Allahumma, Allah, Sali, Allah, Muhammad, like this, all together. After they all know it, that one is not lawful. I hope that this response is clear. If you are teaching them, you read to them the answer. You read to them the answer. You read to them the answer. This is okay. When they know it, each person should read it by themselves. There's a question here too about Amir that I saw. I don't know.
Not sure.
I don't know whether you saw the question. Someone had asked it that my eyes just came across it as I was responding to one of the questions. Someone was asking if I go to a gathering of Asalatu, because yes, as regards going to the gathering of Asalatu, if one is attending to gain more knowledge, understanding of Islam, what do you advise? My dear brother, it is not in the gathering of Asalatu you go and learn knowledge. If you need to learn, go to madrasa. Look for a madrasa around you and go to the madrasa. If you are big, elderly, look for a halqa around you. The meaning of a halqa is learning circle. Look for a good learning circle around you. They will pick a book. There shouldn't be any halqa that the teacher just comes and start talking. No. He has to pick a book. He's teaching the people. We are reading Sahih al-Bukhari. Oh, we are reading Sahih Muslim. Oh, we are reading Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Oh, we are reading so-so book. They start teaching and you start learning. That is where knowledge is acquired. But you go to a garden where everybody is just shouting, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. What is the learning there? That one is not done in a garden. Adhkars have their own manners and conduct. Learning circles have their own manners and conduct. Learning is different from Asalatu gatherings that we know. No, look for a proper learning circle. Go and sit down there and learn. This one that we have been discussing now for the past 5 years, we have been on this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. You see, we move from one issue to the other as we study. We learn, bismillah, and gain and grow, both in knowledge, inshallah, and in faith, in iman. May Allah accept it. The approach is different from the approach of a gathering of prayer. Everybody say Subhanallah 33 times. Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. This is what you gain in a gathering of Asalatu. This is what you gain in a gathering of. You don't need a gathering for that. What you need a gathering for is proper learning and growing your religion. But as for all these gatherings and events of Asalatu, they lack any basis in our religion. The Prophet did not gather the companions for an event of Asalatu. Pick a cloth for them, pick a day for them, pick a shoe color, pick gele. All these things are baseless things we have brought by ourselves. Some people exploit the ignorance of some people to bring to them what is not part of their religion. Part of that is also Qiyamulay, joint tahajjud. It is baseless. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please get these my expressions clear. The Prophet did not organize tahajjud night for anybody. The Prophet did not organize tahajjud night for anybody. The organized tahajjud is in Ramadan. Qiyamul Layl Tarawih in Ramadan. Outside Ramadan, pray Qiyamul Layl in your home is better than in the masjid. Qiyamul Layl in your home, tahajjud night, do that thing in your house by yourself. Because Salatu Rajuli fi baytihi, the salah of an individual in his house, the nawafil in your house is better than your nawafil in the masjid. Nafila inside your house is better than nafila in the masjid. Except in Ramadan, when you come to the masjid for Taraweeh. Otherwise, all those Qiyamul Layl, all those night prayer, layla to this, layla to that, that people have organized, they are means of exploiting the ignorance of those who choose and allow themselves to be exploited. Why have they chosen to be exploited? Because they have not learned how to make Qiyamul Layl properly. Learn how to make Qiyamul Layl and make Qiyamul Layl in your house. If it is only Suratul Ikhlas that you know, be reciting Suratul Ikhlas in one rak'ah. The Prophet did that too, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I think in Ramadan, we should be doing things like this too. In Ramadan, it's not compulsory we have to read the whole Quran. Sometimes you read only one surah. You read even one verse. The Prophet did all of that, alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes he read only one verse throughout. So don't say me, I don't know much Quran. The Quran that you know, read it in your Qiyamul Layl. Be repeating it. If it is only Fatiha that you know, be reciting that Suratul Fatiha. So don't go looking for anybody who wants to exploit your own ignorance. Build up yourself. Learn. But all these events of Asalatu are nights. How many girls have been impregnated in night programs? How many? So don't take yourself to expose yourself to dangers that you can avoid. And if it is a learning gathering, go learn. Look for the book they are teaching. Buy the book. Get a pencil. As they teach, you make your notes. You jot. This is learning. There is proper learning in Islam. I used to tell if someone, I have an old woman who has lived with a doctor and is now living with a student learning Islam. He said, she used to say, doctors read every day. Now she said it now, that even students of knowledge read more than doctors. Students of knowledge in Islam, we read more than doctors, Ikhwa. Sorry that I have to say this. Doctors read. But wallahi, we read more than them. So I'm just mentioning that with emphasis to say that if it is learning, learning has its own pattern. If it is Asalatu, Asalatu has its own pattern. Don't take Asalatu as a gathering of learning. Go and sit down and learn properly, Ikhwa. Make your Asalatu by yourself. Don't let people exploit your ignorance. I hope that this summary response is clear. Allahu a'lam.
Am Sheikh al-Nuzak and Al-Khair al-Rahman al-Nabi. Ameen wa iyam.
Abu Amir, I have to go now, please. Bismillah, we come back in the next week. We can keep the questions that we have. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. يا شيخنا جزاكم الله خير.
آمين آمين.